I want to let you into another secret about Reuben that he didn't share with us. I know Reuben's a gamer. True or false, Reuben? You're a gamer. Now, for some of you folks who are a little bit mature, you go, what is a gamer? Well, a gamer is somebody that sits Reuben with a headset on and chats to all their mates with the latest video game. Now, I read an article, would you believe it, in The Spectator, which is quite a philosophical sort of magazine over in Britain, and one writer spoke about why we love gaming. And he sort of exposed it from a psychological perspective and said this: we love to be able to be resurrected. Because no matter how many times you're killed, Reuben, you can always respawn. You can always be resurrected. You can always have a second chance. You can always be reborn. You can always have another go. And don't we all want that? Don't we all want a second chance at life? Don't we all want to be born again? If we could go back and undo things that we've done in the past and find hope and new life in it, we all want the second chance. And as we meet the women on this Easter Sunday morning, they want a second chance. They wonder if there's any hope. Their life now seems to be directionless, purposeless, futureless, because Jesus, their Messiah, Jesus, their rabbi, Jesus, their teacher, well, he lies dead and buried. Their hopes and their dreams dissipated on Good Friday night. And yet there's hope. There's hope in three words that they are going to hear this morning. There's hope in three words that we're going to unpack this morning. It's these three words: he is risen. They're three life-altering words. They're three life-changing words. They are three words that have ultimately changed the history of all humankind who would believe and place their faith and their trust in Jesus. Three simple words: he is risen. So let's go. If you've got a Bible, let's join the ladies that first Easter Sunday morning. And the first thing we're going to see, how these three words change their perspectives. In Luke chapter 24, 1-4, let's see how these three life-altering words change their perspectives. And I hope, if you're even listening in online today, that they'll change your perspective about your life. Luke 24, verse 1, but on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. Now, let's try and think about what these women are thinking about. Some of you ladies who are here today, you're verbal processors. Now, you know what that means. You like to talk things out, whether with a close friend or a family member or a colleague. If you've got an issue, you want to talk about it and maybe find hope and healing through talking about it. Some of you ladies, you're more introverted and you like to keep things to yourself. And as we meet the women this morning, maybe somebody was chittering away in the darkness of the night as it sort of sunrise is breaking onto that Easter Sunday morning. Maybe someone's talking too much to try and process it. Maybe one of the women's not saying anything at all. They just don't know how to handle this new perspective on life. Jesus is dead. Shattered dreams, shattered hopes. And so they come very dutifully to the tomb. Look at what it says. Taking the spices they had prepared, they thought that they were going to come to the tomb and there would be a big stone in front of it. They maybe hoped that there would be enough Roman guards who would be there to be able to push this huge boulder away so that they could go in and minister to their teacher, to their rabbi, whose body would be dead and in the grip and pangs of death. But look at what happens when they get to the tomb, verse 2. And they find the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now, you might be a non-Christian here today or watching online and say, well, who moved away the stone? Well, let me give you a very simple answer. God did. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's this great mystery in our God being triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's a sense in which all of them were involved in Jesus being raised from the dead and ultimately this stone being rolled away. Consider how the different gospel writers think about this rolling away of the stone. Matthew says, there was an earthquake. Matthew 28, verse 2, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Mark and Luke, Mark 16, verse 4 says, but when they looked up, that they saw that the stone had been rolled away. Peter, when he's preaching at Pentecost in Acts 2, verse 24, said this, God raised up Jesus, loosing the pangs of death because it was impossible for the grave to hold him. So who rolled away the stone? Who was it that raised Jesus from the dead? It was the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Raised Jesus from the dead. But they don't know that's the answer to the story yet. So look at verse 3. But when they went in, can you imagine the risk that the ladies were taking? Jesus was, in many ways, an insurrectionist. Jesus was a false teacher, according to the religious leaders. And so when they step into the tomb, what happens if the Roman guards who are laying prostrate in a daze because of this earthquake, if they wake up and they think, well, maybe it was the ladies that stole the body? Are they going to be next on the chopping block? They take a risk. They go into the tomb. But when they went in, verse 3, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine how they're feeling? Not only are they grief-stricken that Jesus, their teacher, their rabbi, their master, their Lord, is dead and buried, but the very place that they had gone to anoint his body with oils and spices to sort of attend to him when he's dead, he's gone. Shattered dreams, shattered hopes. I wonder, can you just in a little way identify with the ladies when you look back over this last year? Your perspective on life when you've been confronted with this virus that has spread all over the world and death, which our contemporary society had managed to put into the cupboard of this postmodern contemporary world. And nobody talked about death. Death wasn't a reality in our society. Now it's on the headline news every day. Where are we all going? Is there life after death? What happens when our loved one gets a virus? Will they survive? And so we, in a different way, can understand how our perspectives have been turned upside down over this last year. But consider that there's hope starting to emerge in this story. Verse 4. While they were perplexed about this, behold, Luke says, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, literally in their hour of great grief and need. Heaven is touching earth. Two angelic messengers have now come to them at their hour of greatest need to explain to them what is happening in their lives. Three words, he has risen, will be able to change their perspectives. Three words, he has risen, will be able to change your perspective in life. But secondly, he has risen doesn't just change perspectives, it changes people. Reuben's going to show us in just a few moments' time that the three words about Jesus, he is risen, has not only changed his perspective, it's changed his personhood. He's going to symbolize, as Romans 6 tells us, when he goes into that water, that he has died with Christ. When he's held down just for a second and he's raised up from the dead, he's going to symbolize to you all gathered here and you watching online that he has been raised with Christ. That not only have these three words, he has risen, changed Reuben's perspective, it's changed his heart. New life in Christ. And so consider how it's going to change the people who go that first morning. Look at verse 5. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men say something to them. Look at what the men say to them. Staggering words. Why? Why do you ladies seek the living one among the dead? These are amazing, spine-tingling words. It's the first glimmer of hope on what has been 24 to 48 hours of total hopelessness. So here comes words of life from angels of life about the author of life who's now alive. He's the living one. He's spoken about this on so many occasions when he was standing at a service for the one he loved, Lazarus. He looked at Mary and Martha and says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, yet he believes. And he looked at them and said, do you believe this? As he was with his disciples in the upper room, as he's teaching them about what life is going to look like after he goes, he says, because I live, you also will live. As he gives words to John, he's out on the island of Patmos, and he's having a really hard time with life. He says, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Let me tell you this, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And Reuben's going to symbolize to all of you friends and family here, or you watching online, Jesus is risen. It's earth-shattering news. One writer said, God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. John Stott says, we live and then we die. Christ died, lives. But look at what these angelic messengers say. Verse 6. I mean, we just can't even get our arms around these words. He is not here. He's not here, but he is risen. One writer from the past said this, Christ is risen, and the last opposing monarchy has fallen. Death reigns no more. Sin has been vanquished by Christ's cross, and the empire of the prince of darkness has been forever destroyed. Think about this. Think about famous places that you used to travel. Do you remember that word, travel? Think of some of these places in your mind's eye. The pyramids of Egypt are famous because they contained the mummified bodies of ancient Egyptian kings. Westminster Abbey in London is renowned because it rests the bodies of English nobles and notables. Muhammad's tomb is noted for the stone coffin and the bones it contains. The Taj Mahal was built as a memorial to a wife of one of India's great Shahs. Arlington Seminary in Washington, D.C. is revered for many honored Americans who have died. But the Garden Tomb is known not for who's resting there, but for who's not there. Jesus is risen. Read a story this week about a young boy and a father, and they were driving in a big drive together, and they had the windows down, and a bumblebee flew into the window. The young boy, who had a severe allergic reaction to any form of sting from a bumblebee, was horrified, and the father pulls over to the side of the road and is able then to grab the bumblebee in his hand. And so the son begins to calm down a little bit. But then, much to the son's disgust, the dad lets the bee go again. And so the bee starts to buzz around, and the young boy says, what are you doing, Dad? But the dad puts out his hand to the young boy and says, but look, I've taken the sting in my hand. So as the bee buzzed around the car as they tried to get it out the window, it couldn't do any harm to the young boy because the father had taken the sting. And on this Easter weekend, that's what Jesus shows us. He's taken for us the sting of death. And that's where the Apostle Paul, as he reflected on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, he cries out in great victory, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us what? The victory. You can stand at the grave of a loved one, and if they know Christ, they're more alive than they've ever been. Because Christ has taken and removed the sting of death by dying on that cross. He himself bore our own sin on his body on that tree so that Reuben can show that he has died to sin and now lives with Christ. But I must go on. Verse 6. Look at what these angelic visitors say. Remember. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee? Go back, ladies. Do you remember his teachings? Do you remember what he said to you? Remember the content of his mission? Look at verse 7. Remember that he said the Son of Man must firstly be delivered into the hands of sinful men. Remember that he must be crucified. And remember on the third day he must rise. And then I love verse 8. Look at what it says. And then they remembered his words. That's the way to find life this morning. You want to know the author of life? Go to his word, which reveals words of life, words that can save. That's how you'll find hope this morning, in the person of Jesus. And if you go on reading Luke 24, which you'll see next week, basically there's so many occasions where Jesus meets with disciples. He meets with two men on the road to Emmaus, and he opened up their minds to understand the scriptures. And the man said, didn't our hearts burn within us as we walked with him along the road? As he opened to us the scriptures, they remembered the teachings of Jesus, and so they then had hope, resurrection life. It should change people. It can change you today. These three words, he is risen, it can change your life. But thirdly, and I think this is going to be helpful for all of us, thirdly, it changes Peter's. It changes Peter's. Now, what's a Peter? You say, I don't know who Peter is. Peter was the leader of the 12. Peter, as one writer said, was the apostle with the foot-shaped mouth. You know that person in your family that's always putting their foot in it? He was that guy. But he was the leader. And he said, you know what, Jesus, as I look around this room, all these other people might fall away. Their faith might be weak, Jesus, but I'm never going to fail you. I'm never going to let you down. But in this gospel account, Dr. Luke tells us, when Jesus was being tried as an innocent man, after the rooster had crowed three times, it says, Jesus turned and he looked at Peter, and he had disowned his Lord three times. Can you imagine what that was like for him as he walked back through the streets of Jerusalem that night, knowing that he had failed his Lord, sinned against his Lord? All weekend, has he been able to get to sleep? Can he get that gaze out of his mind that Jesus had turned and looked to him and he had let down the only man he has ever properly loved in a genuine love, his rabbi, his teacher, his master? Did he wake up on Saturday to the rooster crowing again, and on Sunday to the is he able to get any sleep? So let's see what these three words have to say to Peters like us who have fallen and have rejected the Lord. Verse 9. And returning from the tomb, the women told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But look at Peter. And if you feel like a failure today, if you feel like there's no way Jesus Christ could love you, we'll just look at his grace for Peter. Peter rose. Has he been sitting in a corner all weekend in that upper room in Jerusalem, so downcast and disorientated and depressed about his future and failing his Lord at his hour of greatest need? But suddenly there's resurrection hope for failures like Peter. But Peter rose and he runs. Can you see him running? Running through the streets of Jerusalem. I want to get to that tomb. I want to see if these three life-transforming words are really true. Stooping, looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And look at how he goes home. This is how you might go home today. For the first time, this is how you might be sitting in your home today. You feel like a failure, you feel like Jesus couldn't love you, but you believe that Jesus Christ did die, that you believe that Jesus Christ actually was in the tomb, that you believe that these three life-transforming words, that he is risen, are actually true. And today you want to say for the very first time, even though my life has been a mess up until today, that I can have new hope in Jesus, and you want to receive it today, whether you're in here or you're at home, you can experience what Peter felt. And he went home marveling what had happened. What he experienced when he went home was resurrection hope. He was starting to experience what these three life-transforming words mean. He is risen. I want to close with the words of a helpful writer who speaks to our contemporary society about the resurrection of Jesus. He said, you see, the bodily resurrection of Jesus isn't a take it or leave it thing, as though some Christians are welcome to believe it and others, well, you don't really have to. If you take the resurrection away, you take Christianity away. Take it away, and Karl Marx was probably right to accuse Christianity of ignoring the problems of the material world. Take it away, and Sigmund Freud was probably right to say that Christianity is a wish-fulfillment religion. Take it away, and Friedrich Nietzsche was probably right to say that Christianity was a religion for wimps. But you put it back in, and you have a faith that can take on the postmodern world that looks to Marx and looks to Freud and looks to Nietzsche as its prophets, and you can take them on at their own game, because the Easter message is this, that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Reuben, when he goes down here in a few moments, he's going to say, do you know what? Jesus has transformed my perspective. Jesus has transformed my personhood. I am a new creation in Christ. The old is gone and the new is come. And when Reuben comes up out of that water, he's going to say, you know what? I once was a Peter. I once was a sinner. I once was a failure. But now I'm alive in Christ. What would stop you this morning, here or at home, for the first time, knowing this resurrection power? Come to the Lord today while he's near, and he might be found. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to see a short video which again helps just explain to us this water of baptism. Father, we thank you for these life-transforming words that we have heard about this morning. That Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive. Jesus can transform our lives. Pray for those gathered here physically or digitally. And I pray, Father, there will be no one here or online who are watching or listening to this that would move past the loving arms of Jesus this morning. He cries out to us, come to me, all of you who are weary. Weary with COVID-19. Weary with the brokenness of your past. Weary with the failures of your past. Come to me. Come just as you are. Come and receive my forgiveness. Come to the foot of the cross and look up at me crying out, it is finished. All your sin on my back. All of your sin paid for. All your record wiped clean. Come to Jesus today. Experience his forgiveness. And be part of this resurrected body of believers. Not perfect, but made wonderfully new. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.